The poet Walt Whitman wrote, "I lean and loaf at my ease, observing a spear of summer grass." On Tuesdays this month, we're talking about taking it easy. August seems a good time for such a talk, so many vacationers. But any month, there is one day which has traditionally been the day to take off. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg continues her series with a history of Sunday.
And on the seventh day, he rested. And the rest of us followed that prescription from Genesis for centuries. Sunday was the day on which you didn't shop, you didn't get a haircut, you didn't go watch a baseball game. But that's changed. Why? How? Alexis McCrossin is an historian of Sunday. She joins us from KERA Dallas. We've come a long way from those blue law days, haven't we, when everything was shut down. And maybe you could describe the blue laws.
The blue laws were written on, literally, on blue paper in the colonial Connecticut, and they prohibited work, any form of play, any form of commerce, and they were meant to protect the sanctity of the Sabbath.
Was church always a component of how time ought to be spent under the blue laws? What about just a simple day, the family together, and you didn't go to church?
The blue laws rarely made mention of family time. And in fact, Sunday as a day for family was an invention of the 19th century. The blue laws focused very much on creating a space in which people could attend church and attend it in the quiet and in the peace that a day in which everything else was stopped would provide. In actual fact, one of the reasons for the blue laws was to allow husbands and wives to lie together, that is, to procreate. There was so little time during the rest of the week for that.
So it sets Sunday aside for procreation?
Absolutely.
Well, when did the blue laws begin to be more pastel, not quite so blue?
After the Civil War, we see a dramatic rise in immigration, particularly Germans, Irish, Italians, who brought with them a wider notion of what was appropriate on Sunday and began to introduce different kinds of recreations and activities on Sunday afternoons, excursions, going to a beer garden, attending a concert, a play. And so you have these groups of people in American cities reshaping the landscape. On the other hand, and you have a group of native-born Americans who came to feel that the kind of Orthodox Protestantism that they were inheritors of was much too constrained. And they began to seek God and religious experience in all parts of the world, not simply in religious spaces, but in nature, in art. And they began to feel very constrained by the Sunday of church and prayer and silence.
So there must have been major battles, though, between going to church and taking time off to do these other things.
Absolutely. There were battles over bicycling on Sunday, over going to the 1893 World's Fair. Telegrams were sent claiming that the nation would be destroyed in a thunderbolt were the fair to be opened. Oh. So yes, absolutely, big fights.
You know, it seemed to me, Professor, that the big change that most recent one I can remember happened in the 70s when women entered the marketplace in enormous numbers. We worked all week, and we needed stores and services to be open on Sunday just to manage all of that balancing we were doing, work and family.
That's absolutely right. And you see the beginning of that in the 1960s when, in the state of Texas, for instance, women and men were asked to procure certificates of necessity in which you were able to claim that the items that you were going to purchase were necessary. Then the storekeeper could sell them to you. So this led, of course, into the state in the 1970s when the laws keeping stores shut simply could no longer be maintained.
So we are chatting as part of a series on leisure. Where is it now, our leisure, if Sundays suddenly get as programmed as every single other day, just with different things?
When we seek leisure either in the kinds of television shows or sporting events or commercial recreations, we lose a great deal that earlier generations had, and that is the quiet and repose of a kind of empty time. The way that Sunday used to be, say, in my childhood, where it was really quite a long day because there wasn't much to do. My parents read, and I found myself thinking and exploring, and often proclaimed my boredom.
And so that boredom's looking pretty good to you now, huh?
Absolutely. I'd take it back in a minute.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alexis McCrossin is author of the book Holy Day, Holiday, The American Sunday. She's an associate professor of history at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
Next week, the search for free time from housework at home.